Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, Sound Opinions listeners, if you support us on Patreon, you get to listen to our podcast ad-free on Patreon.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're revealing our favorite albums of the year, the best of 2021. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also hear selections from our production staff.
But first, we have the obligatory explanation of how we keep track all year. I have a list on my desktop of all the contenders for the best of the year, and I have to keep a list because otherwise people say, hey, what are you listening to? And yeah. It's like, well, these 30 are in the heavy rotation. And then we winnow it down. As I always say, these are the albums I would take out after I rescued my wife, Carmel, if the house was on fire.
Yeah, I hear you. I've sort of taken to keeping a playlist going of stuff that really moves me so that it reminds me of the albums that I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that my criterion has always been, I sort of cringe a little bit when I say, here are the best albums of the year. They're the best albums for me. They're my favorite records. They're the records I listen to the most, the lessons that inspired me the most during the course of the year. I don't pretend to think that everybody else thinks they're the best.
No.
But they certainly worked for me.
Well, the professor will add, all criticism is subjective. And we welcome everybody else's opinions. Traditionally it's the top 10, but you and I both have lists of 20, which people can find on soundopinions.org. And we're going to jump around, working from further down the list to our top albums of the year, and not duplicating each other, because there's a couple that around both of our lists. That means I am going to start at my number 12 album of the year, Over the Overlords by Naked Raygun. Naked Raygun is a band that meant a lot to you and me in the 80s, in the indie rock era. This super melodic, very political, very smart art punk from Chicago. I saw them every time they came out east when I was still living in New Jersey. Made a huge impression on me. And then, since 1990, 31 years of silence. Now, do they get a pass for coming back after 31 years? No. I'm going to be even more critical when I'm listening. What do they have to say that's new? Does it measure up to what they gave us in their day, in their heyday? And I think there's only a handful of bands, and interestingly, a lot of them in the art punk realm. Buzzcocks, Wire, Mission of Burma, that have come back with unfinished business, as you always say, and are picking up where they left off, but also going somewhere new. That's how I feel about Over the Overlords. It's ferocious, it's inventive, It avoids things that became Naked Ray Gun cliches. There's no whoa, whoa, whoas. All right? Whoa, whoa, whoa choruses being something they were famous for. But there is tons of melody, and there is a perspective that is very much 2021. I'm going to play the second track on the album, Living in the Good Times. We played it when we reviewed the record, but it is just such a quintessential Naked Ray Gun song, and building to the key line, we really need a revolution. Jeff Pizzotti, the lead vocalist, tells us, I got to fight while I'm going down.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Whether it's the pandemic or the political situation of the last 2 years, we have all felt that way, fighting while we're going down and building to a revolution, whether that's personal, political, global, all of the above. We really need a revolution. Thank you, Jeff, for reminding us. Naked Ray Gun, Living in the Good Times, from my number 12 album of the year, Over the Overlords. Man, Naked Ray Gun, Over the Overlords is the album. Every track is that good, but that one really sticks out for me, Living in the Good Time. Greg, where on your list are you starting?
I'm going to go to my number 9 record of the year, Amethyst Kia, Wary and Strange. Amethyst Kia, a woman who studied bluegrass music, old-timey music at East Tennessee State University, put out a debut album in 2013, worked with Rhiannon Giddens on the Native Daughters Project in 2018, quite a bit of credentials in the folk realm, combined with an intense interest in alternative rock. You know, she's covered the National on her on her recording, so she's combining those two elements and wrote a track that I think is just an absolute signature for the era that we're in. Black Myself, a song of defiance. Talk about the BLM movement being kind of embalmed in song, where it becomes almost a cliche. But, she's bringing the elements of her personal experience into it. The fact that she's also gay, that happens as well to be a part of this, of the subtext of this recording. So she's talking about, defying these stereotypes as a woman of color growing up in the South and the stereotyping that occurs there. I think this is one of the strongest statements, not only from a lyrical standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, that to my mind will be looked back at 20 years from now as like, what did Black Lives Matter sound like? What was the soundtrack of that? I think Amethyst Kia gave us a record that very much embodies that. Wary and Strange is the name of the record, and the song I want to play is Black Myself on SoundCloud. Wary and Strange is the name of the album. Black Myself is a song. Amethyst Kia is the artist on Sound Opinions, number 9 on my list.
I applaud that pick, Greg. I really like that record a lot as well.
What's next for you, Jim?
I'm at number 9, Greg, with a band from the UK called Shame. As I was looking over my top 20, especially the top 10, I have a lot of great albums from male-fronted bands and female-fronted bands, all of them angry, as it so happens. And there was a lot to be angry about still in 2021. Shame, it strikes me now, having heard Idol's Crawler, that Shame sort of got there first with Drunk Tank Pink. This is their second album after debuting with a record called Songs of Praise in 2018. It is more, like Idols, of that smart, super testosterone-driven punk rock coming out of the UK. There's been a lot of that. Idols getting the most attention, a fantastic band. They took a turn toward the dance floor on their new record, and Shame had gotten there first. Drunk Tank Pink, what is that? It is apparently a very familiar color in the UK, bubblegum paint that is on prison cells, psychiatric wards, and drunk tanks. The leader of Shame is a smart, funny, hard-drinking, two-fisted, swaggering gent named Charlie Steen, not to be confused with Charlie Sheen, who is, examining life as a young man somewhere between adolescence and adulthood, doesn't really want to grow up, but knows that he has to, and he doesn't want to be a complete jerk while doing it. Sound familiar, right? Idols as well, mm-hmm. Viagra Boys as well from Sweden. And I just think they're sharp, they're funny. That little bit of dance floor being brought into the hard-charging punk is just an incredible sound. First played him as Buried Treasure, I think, on the show. And I love this record. It is Drunk Tank Pink. The song I'm going to play is Nigel Hitter by Shame. Nigel Hitter by Shame. I think it was your Buried Treasure when we first played them, Greg.
I saw them at South by Southwest, and they happened to be on a bill with Idols, and I like Idols better. So,
I think they're in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, they are very similar bands. There's no doubt about it. The next band I'm going to play, I have seen this band written about extremely sparsely this year. In fact, nobody that I know of has written about UVTV, and I apologize to anybody who has. 9 songs, 29 minutes. I can see why that album could have slipped by somebody.
You didn't play them on the show yet, right?
I did play them as a buried treasure,
okay,
and boy,
right.
Are they buried. They put out a buried treasure, which was deeply buried, always something this year. Their third album, they were out of Gainesville, Florida originally, and moved to Queens, New York. The lineup has changed over the years, but the constants have been singer bassist Rose Vestola and guitarist Ian Bernisette. And man, everybody talks about the four piece guitar format running out of steam, but I think what works here is that the songwriting is so good and so fresh. There's a pop punk element to it, but it's not as clean and slick as that might imply. There's some garage grit in there. To me, what really stands out is how well-crafted these songs are, how ultra-melodic they are, multiple parts, multiple hooks, played with a lot of energy and spunk. And I love this record, when it's over in 29 minutes, all you want to do is play it again.
I had forgotten your Buried Treasure pick of them, and this was the only one on your top 20 that didn't jump out at me. And then I went and dug deep, and was like, yeah.
Like I said, there's 9 songs here, and not a one is a skip track. It's like mm-hmm. you want to play the whole damn thing. Here's one of those tracks that you shouldn't skip, Distant Lullaby from UVTV's new album, Always Something on Sound Opinions. That is Always Something, the new album from UVTV. Distant Lullaby is the song number 7 on my top 20 list of 2021. Which album could you not live without in 2021? Let us know on our Facebook group or in our Patreon community. Leave us a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. Coming up, we're going to have more best albums of 2021 on Sound Opinions.
Distant Lullaby.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. Every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island. So we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, Lemonade Shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're divulging the records that took the top spots in our hearts in 2021. Though if you listen to the show regularly, you probably know what many of them are already. A couple of surprises we haven't talked about. Let's turn now to some of our beloved production staff. First up is producer Alex Claiborne. Alex, what was your album of 2021?
2021, a lot of change was going on for me, and I wanted some comfort food. I wanted something that I knew, something that felt good, but was still expanded. And so I think, Red Taylor's Version by Taylor Swift probably is the album that brought me the most solace in 2021.
The remake.
Yes. So there's a couple things. So this album actually, she's re-recording many of her albums to have ownership over her music. And this also includes 9 From the Vault songs. So it's songs that, many of them we have not heard as an audience that she wrote all those years ago. And basically this record, I really enjoyed listening to the growth that she had. I think vocally, it's much improved from 2012. The song I want to play is All Too Well. It's the 10-minute version, Taylor's Version, From the Vault.
Okay, Alex.
So we're going to hear a snippet of that, to be clear.
Yes, yeah, we're going to hear a snippet.
10 minutes, yeah.
And really, she added some of the verses that she had written all those years ago, with this particular song, which is really, we talk about storytelling in music and songwriting-wise. This is really just a masterful clinic right here. So this is Taylor Swift with All Too Well. It's the 10-minute version, Taylor's Version, From the Vault on Sound Opinions.
All right, Taylor Swift revisiting All Too Well, remaking it. See, Greg, I really like this concept. We are at show 837. Maybe when we get to 1,000, we should go back to number 1 and start re-recording our shows and see if we can do them better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's a great question, Jim, because, Alex, I wanted to ask you, Red's an iconic album for her.
Yes.
A lot of people considered it her best album, released in 2012, right?
Yes, correct.
Does this album actually exceed it?
I think in a lot of ways it really brings it even more into the contemporary space. I think that when it came out in 2012, I think a lot of people weren't putting as much respect on Taylor Swift's name, and there was still kind of a characterization that she was annoying, juvenile, all of these things, and kind of putting her down, when now I think people have a little bit better understanding of kind of what a musical genius she is in many ways that people didn't acknowledge before. So it's difficult because it depends on the day and it depends on what you're looking for as a fan and as a music listener.
All right. We're going to turn now to our Columbia College intern, Mary Bernthal. Mary is going to do a second semester with us. She's been doing great work. Mary, welcome to the airwaves of Sound Opinions.
Hi, it's so fun to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure.
Yeah.
What was your album of the year, Mary?
My album of the year was Remi Wolf's debut, Juno. She's had a couple of viral singles and EPs, but this is her first full-length album. And I would say that Juno is, for lack of a better expression, just a fun, funky, flirty time.
fun, funky, flirty. I like that.
Yeah, she blends like hip hop, rock, pop, funk, R&B, like hyper pop, kind of just everything under the sun in this haphazard but also very intentional way that I think is really exciting.
What's the track you're going to play?
So I want to play Gorilla, which, you know, the kids would call it an absolute bop. The lyrics talk about meeting someone at a party, being instantly into them, and feeling like totally overwhelmed and crazy as a result. I like described her lyrics to a friend as memecore as a joke. But like, I can't really think of another way to describe it. She just has these like random word associations that really probably only make sense to her.
All right, Juno on Sound Opinions.
Show up to the party, it's Gorilla. With an itty bitty chance of having a good time. Sip, sip, sipping margaritas. Spilling like a villain, better whip out the Swiffer. Hide in my mind, smoke up with depression. Damn that guy, he keeping me guessing. Bolo tie, why is he making impression? Look like my exes.
That is Gorilla from the Remy Wolf record, Juno. Mary Bernthal. Her favorite record of 2021. You know, it's interesting because she's combining all these different styles, which I think is totally right on, and I love memecore as a name for it, lyrically. I also detect, to me, that song had a very Caribbean feel to it. Like, you know, you wanted to get up and, you know, talk about being at a tropical island. I mean, it just put me right there, even though none of us can go to a tropical island right now, but it's it definitely had that vibe to it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for a great pick, Mary, and thanks for doing fantastic work for us and making Columbia College proud.
Awesome. Thanks. I love being here.
Back to our lists, Greg. I am at number 5. I said a lot of angry men, a lot of angry women on my list, but also on the top 20, I had two great examples of French pop. I'm not going to play Polo and Pan, but at number 5 on my list is La Femme. Paradigms. I've been a big fan of theirs throughout their career. It was almost 5 years since we had a new record from them, and I think that Sacha Gott and Marlon Magnet really pulled out the stops, getting back to the studio and taking us on a virtual world tour. We're in California, we're in Detroit, we're in Spain, we're in Turkey, and of course we are in their native France. They are a singer and keyboardist and a guitarist from Biarritz. They have always been all about collaboration, much like Daft Punk. We have the two auteurs in the studio, bringing in, on this record, 5 phenomenal female vocalists for all of these travels around the world. I when we reviewed the record, I noted that Google Translate doesn't do them do them a service. You listen to the lyrics, the ones that are not in English. There are a few, you know, and it's like, what are they singing about? It's not about what their vocalists are singing about. It's about the vibes they capture. We have a little bit of you know, psychedelia and tropicalia. We have horns. We have kind of Western instrumentals in the Sergio Morricone way and some Turkish world beat influence, and of course that great tradition of French yay music. You know, Serge Gainsbourg, the weirdness of 60s psychedelic French pop. I couldn't get enough of that this year. That's why I had two albums I loved. This is a song from Paradigms, the new one from La Femme. I'm gonna play the track Paradigm, which leads off the album. Dans la nuit froide, je pleure des larmes de glace, et pas une lueur d'espoir là où je passe. Les âmes du soir ont pas sur les trottoirs, sont souvent perdus, et pourtant mes désirs tendus, pays des noirs. Comme tous les chats qui traînent sur les bougeoirs, je suis seule ce soir, encore déchirée. Paradigm, singular, from Paradigms, plural, the latest album from La Femme. Where on your list are you?
I'm going to go from France to a sharecropper's farm in Louisiana.
Okay.
Robert Finley was born there, grew up there, 67 years old. a late bloomer, some might say. His third studio album, all done in his 60s. Two with Dan Auerbach as the producer. Basically, Auerbach's, you know, his production decisions were based on Robert, Sing Your Life for us on this record. The Sharecropper's Son is the name of the record. And that voice, immediately arresting. You can't escape it. It's such a powerful voice. I think about singers, soul greats like Sharon Jones or Charles Bradley, who were discovered late in their lives and had very productive careers. Finley's shaping up as that sort of an artist as well. You know, you talk about growing up in Jim Crow era Louisiana. You talk about going to a segregated school as a kid. You talk about singing gospel in church as a kid. A street busker, legally blind now, and yet forging this career out of, you know, a very tough existence for decades. You know, still got that falsetto. You can hear it in some of the tracks here, and the way he's blending swamp blues, southern soul, straight up gospel on these tracks is really a wonder. Here's a track from Robert Finley's latest record called Sold Out on You, number 6 on my list on Sound Opinions.
It just ain't no way, no matter how hard I pray, there ain't nothing I can say that's gonna save us today. I'm sold out on you. It's sad, but it's true. After all we've been through, I'm sold out on you.
That is Robert Finley. Sharecropper's Son is the name of the album. Sold Out on You is the track.
I love that record too, Greg. I'm at number 4 on my list. I know you love this artist and this record as well. And she was a fascinating interview on episode 825 earlier this year. I'm talking about Tamar Afek. Tamar had played in numerous bands in Israel. She's a mainstay of the underground rock scene there. In 2014, she did her first solo EP and then followed that up with a album-length release this year, All Bets Are Off. What a powerhouse vocalist, intellect, stage presence, guitarist. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, this really brings to mind, you know, the 80s no-wave scene with a lot of avant jazz in New York colliding with punk, except time-warped into the future. She's taking those sounds somewhere new. And, you know, what is the genre? I'm not even sure it fits one. I mean, there's times, there are stretches here, instrumental stretches, where you would think this was a underground avant jazz noise record, and other times where you would think, oh, this is Sonic Youth's lost stepsister. You know, they're just all over the map, and she was a fascinating interview. So All Bets Are Off by Tamar Afek. I'm going to play the song you love, I love, Russian Winter. We're both huge fans, readers of history, and, you know, Napoleon's army and Hitler's army, they were not defeated necessarily by the Russian armies. They were defeated by the Russian winter. And wow, the 2 years of COVID has felt like we were all being defeated by a Russian winter. Here's Tamar Afek on Sound Opinions.
I know I'm gonna lose the war in the sea. I know how big the risk is taking you with me. Fight through Russian winter straight into your heart. You say you can see blood, but I plan to miss that part.
Russian Winter by Tamar Afek. What a great record. All Bets Are Off. It's on your list somewhere,
oh, yeah,
too, right?
It's way up there for me as well. One of the great records of the year, without a doubt. Another great record. And, you know, he released a bunch of them this year, posthumously. Tony Allen, the great Afrobeat drummer, who died in 2020 at the age of 79. You know, worked with the great Fela on those remarkable bands that had basically invented a style of music in West Africa in the 70s. And Tony's drumming was a key part of that, obviously. Yeah. The way he used that hi-hat, the four-limbed approach to rhythm with a jazz sensibility.
Polyrhythms,
going on there.
Yes.
Incredible, incredible drummer. He's collaborated with a whole host of artists and musicians from across the world in his remarkable career post-Fela. And remarkably, never done an entire album with hip-hop artists. He's collaborated with hip-hop artists, but that was no longer true once he did There Is No End. A full-length collaboration with a host of rap artists from different continents. Some of the better-known names, Danny Brown, Sampa the Great, and Skepta, were on this record, but there are lesser-known names here that are equally great. But the center of it all is those rhythms that Tony Allen is playing underneath those tracks. To me, this album has a hypnotic quality. I love it that it can play two functions in your life. You can listen to it and dance to it, and you can also use it as sort of a background. It's just kind of the mood is so continuous and so seamless in his playing that it's a great album for working to, sort of almost an ambient record, to quote one of your favorites, Brian Eno.
Thank you very much.
So there's a utilitarianism about this record that really appealed to us shut-ins over the last year and a half, let me tell you. I'm going to play a track from it called Mau Mau from Tony Allen's There Is No End on Sound Opinions. Frosty, kapara for my neck, I'm costly. Bitches on goes like a costly, frosty, golden, gauzy. So I make you sing for your supper, sing for your supper. That was Tony Allen with Mau Mau from Greg's number 4 album of the year, Tony Allen, There Is No End. Came in at number 14 for me, Greg. I'm proud of you because I'm the drummer, but I'm glad you gave Tony Allen so much love. When we come back, we'll talk with the rest of the Sound Opinions production team about their albums of the year, and we'll talk about the records that topped our best of lists. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. In a few minutes, we'll reveal our absolute favorite records of the year. But first, let's hear from our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo, about the album that she loved the most in 2021.
All right, what was your album of the year, Sol?
So my album of the year actually isn't an album at all. It's an EP. It is Desperate Times, Desperate Pleasures by a band called Boston Manor. Mm. They're a band from Blackpool, Lancashire, England. It is officially their 8th release, if we're including other EPs and albums.
Mm-hmm.
The song that I chose is Carbon Mono, and it's their very first track that they released off of the EP. The best way that I can describe it in terms of like genre, they're in the same scene as other pop punk bands, but they're just a little bit heavier. So they're a little bit more grungy, a little bit more emo. I think that they sound a little bit more cinematic than like a lot of the other pop punk bands that are in the scene, especially, you know, I feel like Chicago has a really big pop punk scene too.
Yeah.
And they're definitely not like them at all.
All right. But are they meme core?
No, not at all.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Thank you, sir.
Okay, so that was Carbon Mono off of Desperate Times, Desperate Pleasures, the new EP from Boston Manor.
I gotta say, you introduced me to this band. I did not know about them, but I was having a big Jimmy Eat World flashback when I heard that track. And Jimmy Eat World, to my mind, was like the best of that 2000-ish emo-punk invasion, you know, kind of really well-written songs with huge choruses.
I always went with Thursday, but I get what you're saying, that whole kind of moment. All right, thank you, Sol. All right, now it's time for Andrew Gill, our producer, to tell us his album of the year.
Well, I got one that's also on your list, Jim, Lucy Dacus' home video. You know, you described it as a Bildungsroman.
Yes.
We had to look that word up and make sure you were saying it right.
Yeah, I'm an English professor.
But no, it really kind of unlocked the genius of this record when I heard you say that, because you really do see how it builds up to that song Thumbs that you know, people are going crazy about that song this year. It's about
coming of age.
Growing up. That's the what that term is about. So one line that I really like in the song VBS, she says, she's talking about a friend, and she says, "Your poetry was so bad, it took a lot to not laugh." And if you want to think about how confident she is on this record, you put that lyric in, and then you're asking everyone to scrutinize every line of your
every other line. No, it's
because
true.
Because you better be
she's
really
daring
on
us.
Point. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, there was a big tour, and there was all this momentum behind the album, and they were out there on the road, and a member of the band got COVID, it's like, we're not done with this yet.
I mean, we were hoping to have a live taping with her, so hopefully we'll get it together in the new year. So.
In the new year. Something to look forward to for 2022.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a great record, and I wanted to play this song, Going, Going, Gone, because, you know, she was part of that group Boy Genius with Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker, and this is basically a Boy Genius reunion, plus Mitski is on this track as well. So if you're missing Boy Genius, you can listen to this track, Going, Going, Gone by Lucy Dacus from Home Video.
Making plans, watching the day end hand in hand. I always had to be home by 8. My dad would kill me if I was late. I'll be going out. Going now, going now, ooh, going, going now.
Going, Going, Gone by Lucy Dacus, a great pick from our producer, Andrew Gill. Yeah. We're counting down, Greg. Three more picks each to get to the top of our lists. I am next with the number 3 record of the year, Welfare Jazz by Viagra Boys, a group from Stockholm, Sweden. Angry Men. I said, I said a lot of angry men and angry women on my list. I think like Idols. I think like Shame. You know, these are guys who have done stupid things. Because let's face it, guys do stupid things, right? There are levels of stupidity, and then there's malice and very bad behavior. Two tattoo artists meet in Sweden. One of them is an expat from San Francisco, and they decide to go out and drink all night and wind up at a karaoke bar singing Mariah Carey's We Belong Together. And of course, they have to put a band together, right? It is punk. It is angry. It is, I think, by parodying toxic masculinity and admitting their faults, it is wonderful, sleazy satire. I don't think I convinced you of that when we reviewed the record, but I love it. It holds up. And the more I listen to it, the more I love it. I am going to play a track we played once, but if you want to get the essence of Viagra Boys in one song, you got to go with this one. Ain't Nice. They ain't nice. They don't want to be nice. Iggy didn't want to be nice. Mm-hmm. Neither did Nick Cave, right? There's a lot of not nice in the world. But I actually kind of think these guys are the sort that would, you know, if grandma was walking across the street struggling with grocery bags, they would help her.
Okay, well, you know, I'll ask grandma the next time I see her.
We're going to have to go to Sweden.
Would you let this guy help you across the street? Hell no.
Here it is, Ain't Nice.
Touch me, honey. Oh, you don't want me. I started screaming if you look at me funny.
Ain't Nice by Viagra Boys. I'm never going to sell you on this band.
Well, I like that track. I actually do.
All right. Okay.
You know, I think, you know, there are tracks on the record that do get a little too deep into the humor, quote unquote, that you say that they have. And then, you know, it just leaves me the wrong way. I would say, like, play a Little Sims record instead. That's going to be my my pick. Little Sims, young hip-hop artist of Nigerian descent based in London. I was introduced to her primarily through her collaborations with Inflow on those brilliant series of Salt records.
Yes.
The only frustration I had with the Salt record this year was that it came and went. It was available for 3 months, and now you can't find it anywhere. That was an intentional move on the band's part, which I still don't fully understand. We can't have a Salt record now, but we can have a Little Sims record, and I think she made her breakthrough record here with Sometimes I Might Be Introvert. There's a small pool of UK artists, Inflow, Lil Sims, Michael Kiwanuka, Cleo Soul, that have been making records over the last few years that are all wonderful in my estimation. The only thing I dislike about this record, those interludes don't quite work for me. I know you're the guy who hates the interludes.
I hate interludes.
I normally can tolerate them. This time, I really could have done without them. The beauty of streaming is that you can skip them over. The rest of the record is wonderful. Inflow's production is just so brilliant in the variety and the way it serves what Little Sims is talking about. And, you know, it's a coming-of-age record. You know, it reminds me quite a bit of Lauryn Hill's solo debut record back in the 90s, where you're talking about someone who's breaking the ties that bind you and, you know, discovering your own identity, your own independence, you know, family ties versus independence, womanhood versus patriarchy. Life and versus career. Are those actually in opposition? Is there a way to integrate those elements to sort of make your life complete? I mean, she's wrestling with these big questions on this record and doing it in a very stunning fashion. Here's a track from it. It's called Speed from Sometimes I Might Be Introvert by Little Sims on Sound Opinions.
You can tell I'm really going at it. They know when our job is problematic. Keep it on the move, I'm never static.
That is Little Sims, Sometimes I Might Be Introvert, number 3 on my top 20 list. We're getting down to the final picks, Jim. What's next?
Or up to the top, if you look at it that way. I'm at number 2 on my list, Greg. Dry Cleaning, New Long Leg. I know you like this record a lot, too. Florence Shaw. Holy cow. Emma Peel, Diana Riggs, Gillian Anderson in The Fall. That kind of reserved, Brit, rapier-like wit. Sexy, but don't you mess with me. And an element of Dada surrealism here. I keep seeing Dry Cleaning musically compared to Proto Martyr and Idols and Fontaine's DC and even Shame. I don't hear it that way. I think the punk art, punk skewed constructions of her backing band are kind of in that wheelhouse. But as a front person, Florence Shaw is one of a kind. You have to go to like Eddie Argos of Art Brute,
yeah, right,
who couldn't sing and just told funny stories over the band. I think Florence probably could sing, but she's not interested in doing so. She's interested in giving these weird monologues that may be meaningless, but may also be open to deconstruction. I think of myself as a hardy banana with that waxy surface and the delicate flowers. What is she talking about, right? It somehow makes sense, though, and it sucks you in, as she says at another point, like a woman in aviators firing a bazooka. Fire away, Florence. I am going to play Unsmart Lady.
If you like a girl, be nice. It's not rocket science. A tan foot squeezed hopefully into a short boot. A Kerry Bob pony. High fever, hair remover.
The first full album by Dry Cleaning. Mm-hmm. The song was Unsmart Lady. The album's called New Long Leg. You love that one, too.
I do. Like you, I laugh out loud at some of the just, like, you know, the lyrics that come out of nowhere.
Wow.
Like, just hit you right between the eyes. You go, that is so, it's funny, that dry delivery.
There's a little Captain Beefheart in her, too. Yeah. It's just bizarre.
A true subversive. We're getting to the very final picks here. Number two is Idols on my list. Crawler, their fourth album. They keep outdoing themselves. I think they got a lot of stick, especially from the reviewers in England, about being a little bit too obvious on their records in the mm-hmm. past, about being too bumper stickerish in the way that they were portraying toxic masculinity, you know? And the thing is, I don't read it that way at all. First of all, they were, you know, addressing a subject that, you know, perhaps is well-worn, but when was the last time you heard it with this kind of music behind it? You know,
yeah.
At first you're thinking these guys want to destroy you, want to knock your head off. And then you listen to what they're singing about, and it's about pain. I think what happened with this new record is that Joe Talbot really went inward and talked about personal pain from a very personal perspective, talking about his dealing with addiction and how it infiltrated his family and how it informed his entire life, really. The central conceit of the album is his car crash that he barely survived and was a life-changing event.
Self-inflicted damage because he was drunk driving.
He was just completely out of his mind and nearly lost his life because of it. The other big shift here, too, is the way the music has sort of evolved. They're great at those hammering riffs, blowing your head off with their attack, with their aggression. But there's also more atmospheric stuff on here, and there's also like a full-blown dance track, you know, that they're doing on this record as well. The variety is here. They're in latter-day Nick Cave territory, big
mm-hmm.
time. And
mm-hmm.
I think you couldn't aspire any higher in terms of artistic ambition. But I think, you know, a track like that Beachland Ballroom track is just staggeringly good. We've played Beachland Ballroom. I want to play The Wheel, though, this time. From Crawler on Sound Opinions, my number two album of 2021.
I got to my knees and I begged my mother with the bottle in one hand, this one or the other, and so it turns again and again. She woke from a slumber with a crippled stance. She said she missed my brother.
That is The Wheel from Idol's fourth record, Crawler, number two on my list. Jim, I know you love that record as well.
I do. It was at number six on my list, Greg.
But you've got a number one that's
I've got a
not
number
that.
One. I've got a number one, and I don't think this one made your list at all.
No.
I love this record.
It's in my top 40, though.
Amyl and the Sniffers, Comfort to Me from Melbourne. All right. There is always, even in the hardest hitting rock out of Australia, there's always a little bit of camp, a little bit of goofiness, a big swaggering cheers with a can of Foster's, all right? I'm talking AC/DC, I'm talking the Saints, right? Amyl and the Sniffers is in that tradition. It is punk, it is hard rock, it is funny, I promised you angry women, and certainly Amy Taylor fills that bill. Think of the great tradition of Courtney Love, who I still do love, with a little bit of Dolly Parton in there, too. I mean, there's some campiness and some fun. But the song I'm going to play, Greg, that resonated with me as I was shuffling things in the top 10 and making sure everything was at the right spot, is this the number one album of the year? Yeah, it is, because it's ferocious. It is self-empowering. It is a feminist statement of anger. Comfort to me is about walking a dark street with a knife, because you don't want to be attacked. We've heard so many women do that with their car keys between their hands, right? But wow, choices, given what our top court in the land is now weighing. My choice, my own. My voice, my own. My body, my own. Amyl and the Sniffers couldn't put it any more clearly. It can be a celebration. It may turn into being a dirge or a mourning song. We are not post-feminist America. Thank you, Australia, for reminding us. Amyl and the Sniffers on Sound Opinions, my album of the year, comfort to me. Amyl and the Sniffers, Choices. Man, I love that record.
Blowing the doors off there, Jim, with your number one.
Yes.
Good record, no doubt about it. The record that I could not stop playing ever since it came out in January. Mm-hmm. It has been at my side ever since. I just am addicted to it. And I'm proud to say On All Fours by Goat Girl is my number one record of the year.
On my top 10 as well.
So it's their second album. I love their 2018 debut. And when I first put this record on, I go, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
We had an interview with Holly Hole earlier this year where she talked about why that was. Previously, the vocalist guitarist Claudie Cream, don't you just love these made-up names that the band has come up for them? You know, four women who are making amazing music together. And truly together. Claudie kind of wrote the first record on her own and then brought it to the band. On All Fours was written as a collaborative project between all four band members. And they not only all contributed to the songwriting, they contributed to the vocals, they switched up instruments. It was more of a collaborative effort, and it led to more of an atmospheric, more nuanced, more intricate, more subtle record than the debut, which is quite a bit more hard-hitting. And at first you're thinking, well, it's not quite as hard-hitting, you know. But man, talk about hypnotic. Talking about getting under your skin to the point where I'm singing these songs or humming these melodies wherever I went. I wasn't even listening to the record and I was listening to it.
I've never heard you sing. I would really pay cash money
It's a horrible thing. It's usually reserved for private moments when I think no one else is listening. But it's a beautiful record that works as a continuous listening experience. And there's some danceable stuff on here. For example, the track I'm Going to Play, Sad Cowboy from Goat Girl on All Fours, my number one record of 2021 on Sound Opinions.
Sad Cowboy by Goat Girl, On All Fours by Goat Girl is Greg's album of the year, and that wraps up our list for the best albums of 2021. But that's just like our opinions, man. We want to know what you, our listeners, think. What was your top album of the year? Leave a voice message on our website, soundopinions.org. We'd love to play it on the show. You can see the entire top 20 list for both me and Greg on the website. Greg, what do we have on the show next week?
Next week, another one to look forward to, our Sound Opinions annual holiday spectacular with Andy Surzan. And this week on our bonus podcast, more from our conversation with contributor and Rolling Stone senior writer Althea Legaspi. We're going to talk about times where we felt unsafe at concerts.
Timely, and then a little Christmas cheer, Greg. For more Sound Opinions, listen to our podcast wherever you find such things. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, our associate producer Sol Delgadillo, and our intern Mary Bernthal. Our social media consultant is Katie Cott.